Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career, so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In this Sean Speaks episode, I get to speak to you from my heart about an important part of parenting, family life, and a parent's mental health and mindset. I want to help you thrive in how you speak to your kids and how you speak to yourself. Sean Speaks is a live teaching I did with a Zoom room filled with my VIP members. It's interactive, it's spontaneous, it's raw and unedited. If you'd like to go deeper with me, visit my website.
Hey, one of the worst parts of parenting is that feeling of like, you know, same stuff, different day. Oh, isn't that so tough? So painful. What's happening there is that you're using your heart, you're using your words to try to work with your child, to try to train them, to try to bring out goodness, teamwork, love, mutual care. And you're just talking, but also what you're doing is you're using the tools in your toolbox, the best tools you have. And it can be so frustrating because it's like, I feel like I'm using everything. I don't know what else to do. Today, I'm going to take a big chunk and I'm going to try to help you with something that can be really, really tough. I'm going to share a little short teaching here about 7 creative ways you can break those nasty fear cycles. Now, fear cycles is a term that I use to help people understand these patterns that we have with our kids in our own homes. What we really are all trying to do is we're trying to break these nasty fear cycles and replace them with something harmonious, something that feels good to us, something that feels like a win-win. So here are 7 creative tools that you can use and you can add them to your toolbox. And to be more specific, when I say I'm going to take a big chunk, here's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about whether your child is 4, 14, or 24 right now. These things where it feels like, oh my gosh, what is going on? I just can't seem to get through to this kid. So to be more specific, just to get your brain working here, I'm talking about problems with chores. I'm talking a child who might steal food or hide food or leave a messy room with food. Child who's habitually lying to you. How about meanness, a mean streak, a pattern of just regular disrespect to maybe a sibling, maybe into grandparents, habitual issues with grades. Messiness. How about one sister keeps stealing her other sister's clothes or brushes? I'm talking about drugs, habitual use with substances or finding pot or vape in their room or they're coming home high. Curfew issues, sneaking screens, sexting, swearing, emotional outbursts from a child or a tween or even a teenager. Or just this feeling of entitlement or whining. See, we're just kind of took every topic and I'm just trying to empower you to think, okay, what do I do in these situations? I'm going to go through these really, really briefly, and you're here with me live. Welcome. After we do this, we can slow down and we can talk and say, Sean, can you expand on this? Or how can I apply this to my situation? And if you're listening to this recording, then thank you for letting me be a positive voice in your life. If you're taking notes, here's the first one. What do we do here? What are some creative ways? The first one should come as no surprise. It is absolutely the most important tool every parent needs in their toolbox. And they need to do this, have this tool down. You need to do really, really great at it. It's something that I call heart talk, loving heart talks. Now, this kind of makes sense because I want you to imagine yourself as a coach of a sports team. What do you do if you have one player on the team that's just not vibing with the team or not vibing with the coach? Do you make them run laps? Do you make them do push-ups? Well, you sure could if you wanted to, but that's probably not going to woo the child back into the team, into the harmony. You're going to have to use your words. You're going to have to use your love. You're going to have to build your connection with this challenging kid. So why heart talks are so effective is because they help us to humanize ourselves to our kids. So when you're using your heart talks, you really want to use your words and use them powerfully. And if you're here with me live, then you can look at page 10 and you can look at some of these words. We can look at some of your desires. I can't tell you how many stories I've heard over the 20 years I've been doing this of parents telling me, you know what, I just kind of been learning these heart talks from you, Sean, and it's really changing everything. Now, how you speak to your child, like you opening your heart, not giving a lecture or scolding or some type of moral, it's right or wrong, you need to do this, this is the rules of the house. Instead, talking like, hey, I want to feel this connection with you, and this really helps me feel connected to you. Or, you know, I feel loved, you know, when this happens. I don't know if you know this, but feeling like kind of accepted by you, like I'm good enough, like you like being around me, it really means a lot to me. And I don't know if you ever knew that, because I've never told you, or I've failed at talking to you about that. Or, you know what, it's just, you may not know this, but I like feeling important. And when you talk to me this way, when you work with me this way, I feel important, and it feels really, really good. So Heart Talks is just about, it's not just about speaking, it's about listening. There's two, you know, any good conversation has to do with the heart. Also, what characterizes a good heart talk is patience. If you've got a really challenging kid, one or two or three of these talks may not be effective. It's about you creating a culture of heart connection with your kid. And if your kid is having a habitual problem like one of the million I mentioned a few minutes ago, one way of looking at that is that this is actually just a symptom of your disconnection. That you have struggled for a variety of reasons of building a good connection with this kid. And maybe it's all them, and maybe it's not. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's half you. Maybe you've struggled with the conflict or the intimacy or the people pleasing or the rage or the yelling. So what Heart Talks is about is just using your words to really woo them back into a harmonious teamwork connection. And that really makes sense too. Like one of my favorite little teaching metaphors is this, like, you know, if you're like living in a college and you got college roommates and one is like a big, big slob, you know, stealing your milk and your top ramen, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to take this kid's phone away? That's weird. You're both like 19. What are you going to do? You're going to lecture them, pep talk? No, what are you going to do? You're really just going to try to connect with them heart to heart and say, hey, you know, this is really not working for me, or what's going on? Here's idea number two, is actually a good transition, is what do you do to break these nasty fear cycles with our kids? Is start hosting regular family meetings. Family meetings are very powerful. I think they're the most underrated parenting tool of all time. Just like the most underrated dessert of all time is definitely the root beer float. I mean, root beer floats are so good. But you know, we never have them, do we? But who doesn't love a root beer float? The key is you got to make sure that you have enough ice cream in there. Because, you know, but regular family meetings are so great. If you've got serious problems in your home, one of the reasons why could be you struggled in setting a culture of family meetings. Family meetings are like a heart talks with more than one person. Bringing the crew together to speak from their hearts, to listen, to create teamwork. And it really should make sense, because if you look at relation experts or even business experts, what happens in the business world is that if you're having a problem with your employee, then, you know, you go talk to them one-on-one. But if you're still not getting through to that employee, then maybe you bring in somebody else, a second person, to really get their attention. Even that's even kind of what marriage therapists are, right? It's like we're struggling with one-on-one, missing each other, so bring in another person. So creating a regular culture of family meetings where you come together. And some of you might be thinking, well, then we'd be coming together for this one child all the time. Yeah, that's okay. The way I have a lot of teachings on family meetings, if you want more support, just ask me about it. Most family meetings can be very, very painful the first three or four meetings, because it's just not part of the home culture. The kids would be like, what kind of teenagers be rolling their eyes? This is stupid. Why am I here? And if that happens, we just realize it's totally normal, but you kind of did that. You did that by not creating a culture of really positive, fun family meetings. And so maybe you've ruined it, or maybe you've led long, boring meetings, or they're just shameful, or you're just giving these stupid pep talks all the time. But it really, really, family meetings are just so incredible, bringing the crew together. I'm going to come back to that one in a second. Idea number three is this. Oh, I've seen this happen so many times. How do we break these nasty fear cults? As you make the change, and you make a commitment to a 5-to-1 ratio. 5-to-1 ratio, minimum. For every five exchanges you have with your challenging kid, you commit that five are going to be very positive minimum to one more negative. One negative where you're talking about the challenging issue at hand. That way your kid doesn't say to you, I feel like this is all we talk about. Like, why are you always nagging me? If your kid has ever said that to you, you're just a sign of really crappy parenting from you. You're really screwed up the ratio and you screwed up your relationship with your kid because it's just so negative all the time. And you didn't stay focused in that minimum 5-to-1 ratio. Again, that really makes sense. I've had so many, you know, parents over the years tell me like, you know, when I really started focusing on the positive, I just see it changed my child. I just changed it. You know, I'm using this in my own parenting right now with my 7-year-old is 7. So just going through normal 7-year-old stuff and kind of like drawing out the worst in some of us here at the house because, you know, she's 7. And so we actually had a family meeting about it last night and she wasn't even there, but we all committed to be like, look, let's just continue to be patient with her. Let's be loving, but she needs training right now. She needs to be, you know, reminded to say please and to say thank you and to really keep that standard of like respect. And let's not all, you know, like let our foot off the gas pedal. Here's idea number 4 that I just mentioned. Get the siblings involved. This can be, of course, challenging if the kids are super young. We're talking 7 and under. But if your kids are like, you know, 6, 7 and up, especially if they're teenagers, get them involved and ask for their help. Ask for their perspective. They might give you some good parent coaching. And they might say to you, Mom, it's like, yeah, like you're super weird about keeping our rooms clean. It's you. It's not her. It's you, Dad. The way you're talking about the toilet paper rolls or the wet towels on the ground, you need to chill out, Dad. Like these little things are adding up for us. So you're making a mountain out of a molehill. And so keys to parenting, especially like 12 and up, is picking your battles wisely. And what's cool about having teenagers is that you can ask them for advice and get their perspective and then open up your big ears and listen to them because they will give you a perspective into the teen world, into the teen brain, and take that seriously. Also, we can leverage them and say, hey, can you help us with your sibling? Help us get along. Help us figure out, can you go talk to him, talk to her? Getting siblings involved can be so helpful. Creative idea number 5 is something that I'm helping many of you that are here with me live right now is to write down something on a piece of paper and make it really clear. I like to not call it a house rules like some people call it. I like to call it a job description. House rules is fine. You can call it that, but it's really like, hey, this is what your job is as a young person. Everybody has a job. So your job is to get yourself ready to go and for school every day by the door at 7:35. That's your job. I don't want to talk about it anymore. I don't want to argue. I don't want to remind. So what a good piece of paper does is it just puts things in ink and takes the emotionality out of it. Now, if you give a piece of paper and it's really a dumb piece of paper, like it has these outlandish things or things your kid doesn't agree on, that's not going to solve problems. It's got to be a piece of paper that they agree to and they are willing to work with you on that paper. And then you've got to have the self-control to stop all the emotional conflict and the nagging and the reminding and let the paper work its magic. And like makes it really clear, but like, look, I don't want to talk about these. I don't want these issues to come between us, but this is where we're at. This is how I feel about this topic, and this topic. And you just put that down. In a perfect world, you co-create a, you know, job description that with your child. But if you've got a resistant or defiant child, well, then, you know, and invite them to work on it with you using your hard talks first over and over, being patient with them. And if they're still not willing to work with you, well, then you can say, well, okay, I really tried to work with you. I wanted to get your opinion, but you know, I'm the parent, so I'm going to move forward and do this. Idea number 6 is now we're getting to more heavy stuff. What do you do if, you know, you're asking your child nicely to do their job and they don't do it? What do you do when your hard talks fail? What do you do? Well, at that point, you know, you are at a fork in the road.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
At Best Western, we can't promise you the perfect family beach vacation. We can't promise that it won't rain, or that you won't get a sunburn, or that your family won't endearingly call you Lobster Mom for weeks afterward. What we can promise is a warm welcome and a comfortable room amidst all the joyful chaos. Lobster Mom. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western, with over 4,200 hotels worldwide.
We gotta do it spy style.
The Loud House is on a mission to save the world in the ultimate spy movie.
This is our chance to be heroes. Be careful and remember to stay hydrated.
No Time to Spy, a new Loud House movie, now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track. We care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
You either can continue this pattern, this fear cycle of nagging, whining, yelling, quick punishments, all this other stupid stuff, or you can slow it down. What do you do if your family meetings are really not working? What do you do if your child is continuing getting D's and F's or acting out or not doing these things that you've asked them nicely to do? Well, there's a beautiful word, and it's called discipline, and it should be done very well. Discipline comes from the word to train, or to the training of something. Punishment, the actual definition of that is pretty interesting. If you Google punishment, you'll see that punishment is really about inflicting pain on somebody. It doesn't even say in the definition for many of them, the purpose of punishment is to inflict pain, to help them to grow or to change. It's just really about putting pain. So the way I phrase idea number six is for you to stop your enabling pattern. What do you mean, Sean? You just went from discipline to enabling. What are you talking about? Right. So here's a couple examples. I recently, had success recently with a family whose teenage son had a pretty serious problem. I'm not going to tell you what it is because it doesn't even matter. It could be lack of emptying the dishwasher in the morning before school, or it could be habitual use of drugs. It doesn't matter. It was a very bad problem. It wasn't a win-win. In the parents, this young man was very successful at soccer, very successful on his varsity school soccer team. And so rightly so, the parents wanted to do everything in their power without taking soccer away. Totally fine, because that's like his joy, his passion, his friends. But throughout, they tried all these things, the heart talks, the meetings, the 5-to-1 ratios, they're bringing siblings involved. They brought in professional help, but the issue continued. So then they said, you know what? At this point, they were realizing that they were sending a message to this person that in this family, soccer is more important than family. In this family, we get it. We've sent a message. We have failed. And we have sent a message that soccer is God in this family. It's the most important thing over this standard and over this family. So what stopping your enabling pattern meant for this family is, look, we're going to take a break from soccer if that you cannot really work on this with us. And when they tried to warn him, they gave him chances, and then they took a break. And guess what happened? Well, the young man finally did the work he needed to do to cooperate with his family, to obey his parents, and to do the inner work he needed. Recently, I remember a similar story that happened with a daughter and her relationship with riding horses at a barn. Now, these aren't punishments we're talking about. This is about parents being like, you've got to realize that if you've got a painful cycle in the house, same stuff, different day, you can't get your child to talk to you or treat you the way you want to be treated. The first person to look at is yourself and ask yourself, how am I enabling this? How am I funding this? I mean, we get so many parents nowadays that are complaining about their kids' relationship with screens. You've got to look at yourself first in the mirror. You're the one who did that. You're the one who gave that child a screen. You're the one who's living in their fears. You're the one who's making up excuses. You're the one funding this. You're the enabler. You cannot have screen overuse or screen addiction. You can't have had any addiction or any overuse without somebody enabling this or funding it. So what enabling could look when it comes is not punishment. Punishment is, like we defined, is not, it's about teaching. It's about, my job is to teach you. My job is to protect you from yourself. And so that could mean some very intense things depending on your situation. I've had many, many clients over the years go through some very extreme stuff with extreme defiance, drugs, Norco, Valium, marijuana, cocaine, LSD, Ds, Fs, school refusal, violence, breaking the law. And these parents are like, what do I do? Do I send them to boarding school? And partly how I help them is to ask them and I work with them, help them see, how are they funding this? How are they enabling this? And I'm not saying you should do this, but there's so many creative things you can do, because your child is not entitled to go to that school. They might love their private school. They might love their high school that they go to. But you could say, look, if this continues, then I'm going to have to take you out of this school because I will not enable this. I've seen many parents and help them say, hey, we're going to take a break from your screen. And when I say a break, we're talking an extended period of time, a screen fast, several weeks or months. Well, when am I going to get it back? I'm not going to give you a time. Because in this family and what we teach and what we value is more important than any screen. And so you need to show us that you are trustworthy with this screen, that you're going to do the hard work to balance your life, to take care of your job. I've seen teenagers sleep outside in a tent or sleep in the garage because they've lost the privilege of sleeping in their home. Now, is that child abuse? No, it's not. It needs to be done properly, or you could send your kid to a boarding school where they'll do that for you. Or you can hire big men to come and take your child. It's called a transport, and transport them to a boarding school. These are very extreme things. I've walked into homes when I've seen holes covered on the walls because the teenager is just destroyed the house through violence and threats. I've seen single mother who have bruises on their neck and on their arms from their son or daughter who has violently been hurting them. And you've got to ask yourself in these situations, whether you're dealing with this extreme situations like I'm talking about now, or you're dealing with like your, you know, 8-year-old child who's just doing normal 8-year-old annoying stuff. How am I enabling this? How am I sending a message that shouldn't be sent, that this is okay? This needs to be stopped. How am I enabling this? And lastly, creative ideas to break fear cycles is number 7, is to take a step back in the relationship. What does that mean? Well, there's a tool that I teach and I can help you expand upon it. It's called the emotional consequences. It must be done very lovingly and must be done well. All these tools must be done with great wisdom and great love. Essentially, what does this mean? It's like, well, how do I send a message? So one of my clients recently had success because their teenage daughter was making some really hard choices with curfew. Living in a big city, the parents were scared. They got a young teenage daughter. They want her home on time. They don't want to roam in the streets. But they didn't want to take her phone away. They didn't feel comfortable with that for their own reasons. And they didn't want to ground her because grounding is normally highly ineffective. And they're trying to reach her heart. They're trying to woo her. So they're doing the love talk, the loving heart talks. They're validating her. They're trying to do the 5-to-1s. They're doing the family meetings. They're trying to get the siblings involved. Instead, what they said is, okay, we're going to take a step back. And they did it very lovingly. And it's not easy. It's very messy. But what that means is that they said, look, until you can start meeting your curfew, we're just going to be making some changes because this hurts us too much. It doesn't feel right to us that you're not. It's wrong. You're not listening to us. You're not cooperating. You're not listening. And we can't just pretend like everything's okay. That is a key part to all this. I cannot pretend that everything's okay. If you struggle with avoidance or people pleasing, that is something that you are guilty of. You're pretending that everything's okay. You keep giving them money. You keep sending them all these things. You keep buying them all these things. And then you wonder why they don't care about you. You're enabling this. You're laying down And you're always teaching people how we want to be treated. So take responsibility for what you've done. Or on the other extreme, you're just yelling and aggressive, and all that aggression, those threats, those punishments, those nagging stuff, it never really reached their heart. And so what this one family did is they said, look, we're going to take a break. So until you can start, you know, keeping your curfew with us, we're going to not be doing some things that maybe you're used to. What do you mean? And you need to do these things for me. I'm entitled to these things. You need to give me rides. You need to pay for my cheerleading. You need to give me lunch money. You need to do all these things. I'm your child. And so what taking a step back means is just humanizing yourself and saying, hey, what can I do to really send a loving message that I will not pretend like everything's okay? I don't want to punish, but I just want to send a message like I will not move on and just pretend. But what do you mean, Sean? That's your duty. You're supposed to give your kid lunch money. You're supposed to give them rides to their friend's house. They're a bad parent if you do that. No, you're actually not good parenting if you're enabling these patterns. Because you know what? What the kid did then is that she made her own lunch, or she ate the school provided lunch. She was asked for getting rides around town, and her parents were like, no, we're not okay. We've got to work this out. So what did she do? Well, it took her about a week or 10 days. And then she said, look, okay, I'm really ready to work on this. I get it now. See, what you're doing is not punishing. You're just humanizing yourself. And it must be done with total love and wisdom and slow, not in rage. So those are seven creative ideas on how to break fear cycles. Really, it's all about the heart. All these should always prioritize the heart. Loving heart talks, wooing them into teamwork with you, really bringing in family meetings, working on that 5-to-1 ratio, just overpowering them with love and joy and kindness and good things. Number 4, maybe getting other family members or siblings involved. Number 5 is putting something on a piece of paper and moving the emotion out of it. Say, I want to be crystal clear with where we're at. Number 6 is you looking at yourself and say, how am I sending a message? How am I enabling this? Sending a message that these screens are more important than family, that school is more important than family, that your pleasures are more important than family. And number 7 is maybe thinking about how to take a step back from the relationship and send a message. Parents have feelings too. Parents, thank you for letting me be a positive voice in your life. I love you and I love your family. If you're sick and tired of the same painful patterns in your parenting or the same painful bad behaviors in your kids, then what are you waiting for? Join me in my VIP membership. I'd love to speak with you and give you the specific tools that you need.
Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.
Join me, Dr. Panico, with Cindy Lauper and Chef Michelle Bernstein to talk about plaque psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis, the potential connection and risk of developing permanent joint damage.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 milligram dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 milligram dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for TB, serious allergic reactions, severe skin reactions that look like eczema, and an increased risk of infections, some fatal, have occurred. It may lower your ability to fight infections, so tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if IBD symptoms develop or worsen. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or cosentyx.com/Cindy.
Rack up the deals on everything summer at Nordstrom Rack and get brands you love up to 60% off. Vince, Kate Spade New York, Steve Madden, Madewell, Nike, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. Just in dresses, tops, shorts, sandals, sneakers, denim, luxury bags, and sunglasses. Rack up the deals today and save up to 60% on summer at your Nordstrom Rack store.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John Littlefoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
At Best Western, we can't promise you the perfect family beach vacation. We can't promise that it won't rain, or that you won't get a sunburn, or that your family won't endearingly call you Lobster Mom for weeks afterward. What we can promise is a warm welcome and a comfortable room amidst all the joyful chaos. Lobster Mom. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western, with over 4,200 hotels worldwide.